Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, October 17, 2023. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, in these last days as the wheels are coming off the wagon. We thank you, sir, for one more day of freedom. Freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey's article is Cycle of Violence. Israel longs for peace. I've been there dozens of times and spent quality time with political leaders such as Benjamin Netanyahu and with legendary military leaders. I've spoken at length with regular soldiers and regular people, Jews and Palestinians, and I can tell you with certainty that Israel desperately longs for peace, probably more than any other nation in the world. Look at how many times they have been willing to compromise their safety for so-called peace agreements, where the peace ended up being only a mirage in the desert. But when someone comes in and murders, 1,300 of your citizens and injures over 3,000 more, what do you do? Hamas took 150 Israelis as hostages. They fired on unarmed young people at a music festival as though it were a shooting gallery. They launched thousands of missiles into civilian areas, even hitting and destroying a children's hospital. Hamas gunmen invaded Israeli neighborhoods, murdering whole families in their homes. Families eating breakfast. And some families who were still in their bed at 6:30 on a Saturday morning. The terrorists, and that's what they are, terrorists. The terrorists set houses ablaze. And they killed scores of babies. They killed scores of babies and toddlers. They beheaded babies. How should Israel respond? No matter how much Israel wants peace, how would any nation respond to such satanic, evil, degenerate, terrorist activity? This comes purely from Satan himself. It is an evil, evil that is taking place right now. Standing beside Qatari Prime Minister, U.S. Secretary of State Blinken said it well. Quote, "No country can tolerate having a terrorist group come in and slaughter its people." What Israel is doing is not retaliation. What Israel is doing is not retaliation. What Israel is doing is defending the lives of its people. And as I said, this is Secretary of State Blinken, as I said, trying to make sure that this cannot happen again. And I think any country faced with what Israel has suffered would do the same thing. Imagine if this had happened in the United States of America. Now we have the scum of the world. Who's that? The media. Much of the world's media sees this as simply another step in the Israeli-Palestinian cycle of violence. One side does something bad to the other, and the other side reacts with something even worse. Then the first side reacts in a still stronger way. The violence grows more extreme, deepening the hatred that fuels it, feeding on itself. This process leads to greater violence and mounting rage, and the cycle continues, or so the media says. That's the media. Scum. But that is not an accurate depiction of the cycle of violence at work in the Holy Land. Hamas grew out of Arab and Persian hatred for Israel. Hatred of Israel began as hatred of the Jewish people. Hatred against Jews is a tenet of their satanic religion, and Islam is a satanic religion. Christianity is not a religion. Satan has his ace trump for ruling planet Earth, is religion. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a personal relationship with the living and true God, Jesus Christ, through faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. In every religion of the world, man does the works. In Christianity, God does the work. Just the opposite. In Christianity, God the Father planned the cross. God the Son executed it. God the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. God does all the work, and that's grace. But every satanic religion, and all the religions of the world, and Islam is one of the worst satanic religions. It's man doing the work. Hatred against the Jews is a tenet of their satanic religious faith and an outgrowth of their satanic religious zeal. The real cycle of violence between Israel and Hamas works like this. Hamas attacks, and Israel reciprocates by stopping Hamas's immediate ability to attack. Under pressure from allies, Israel does only enough to temporarily declaw Hamas. Each conflict intensifies Gaza in poverty, and after each one, the world's nations send aid. But who controls Gaza? The terrorists, Hamas. Hamas controls the aid. Hamas gives away a little bit of it to make regular Gazans see them as a source of help, but mostly Hamas leaders make themselves rich and rebuild their war machine. Other nations, such as Iran, hate Israel as much as Hamas does, and they give direct military aid. And when Hamas rebuilds, they attack again. And again, Israel stops them, still doing only enough to stop their immediate ability to make war. And then what happens? The nations of the world again send help. Hamas takes it and rebuilds their military again. And when it's strong enough, Hamas attacks again. That is the real cycle of violence that Israel faces again and again and again and again. Prime Minister Netanyahu has said that it will be different this time. He believes the atrocities and war crimes of recent attacks will give his military an opportunity to bring a complete end to Hamas rule in Gaza. But even if he can depose Hamas, the nature of this conflict means that a similar group will arise. Hatred against Israel is not about land or rights or money. It is a tenet of their satanic religious faith. They are motivated by Satan himself to destroy Jews, to destroy every Israelite off the face of the earth. Where does that come from? That is Satan's objective. He's already doing it in the church age. When we get to the tribulation, it will be an all-out attack to wipe Israel off the face of the earth and every Jew off the face of the earth. What you see now is Satan using religion, Islam, to carry out his plan to destroy Israel from the face of the earth. It is evil, it's satanic, it is horrible, it's vicious. And sad to say, we got people in our country in government who are anti-Semitic. anti-Semitic. God has promised in His Word in Genesis 12, verse 3, I will bless those who bless Israel, and I will curse those who curse Israel. The very end, He says, Israel's struggle for survival will not end until Israel's Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns. He will return at the second advent. He will destroy all the nations that are gathered together to wipe out Israel. He will destroy them. And He will establish His kingdom on this earth. But there are certain Islamic Arab nations that will come under tremendous, tremendous discipline. And we are seeing that in the book of Joel. And we'll see it in the next Old Testament book I'll be teaching. And have you put in your... Anybody trying to going to win the $1 million? Don't worry. The check that I write will bounce higher. And higher and higher. Well, that what we are witnessing, you people as believers who are positive, understand the spiritual life, have humility, understand the spiritual skills. There's some in here, there's some that are not. We have all Upland is not Upland. I want you to know that. All Upland is not Upland. But there are some, not all, who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you know... the precisely correct procedure for powerful and effective prayer. And so you pray for Israel. You pray for the Ukraine. And those prayers are powerful and effective. You pray that God will put a wall of fire around them and protect them. And we do know that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, a remnant of Jewish believers will be delivered and go into the millennial kingdom. The nation Israel will be restored, and it will be the greatest nation on the face of the earth. In the millennial kingdom, Israel will be the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And the Messiah, the Son of David, Jesus Christ, will rule from the throne of David and rule planet earth. And the whole world will be blessed by association with the nation Israel. God has a plan for Israel. Israel is the Lord Jesus Christ's treasured possession. Treasured possession. Israel is the Lord Jesus Christ's inheritance. And in the future, the entire world will be blessed by association with that remnant who will recognize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. in the tribulation, from the two witnesses, from the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel, there will be many, many Jews who will recognize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And they will believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when Jesus Christ returns, they will be delivered and go into the millennial kingdom. And Israel will be the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And the whole world blessed. Well, we have that in the book of Joel. And Joel is one of the first prophets in the Old Testament. He lived around 800 B.C. Isaiah was also a contemporary of Joel. And they were living at a time when client nation Judah, the southern kingdom, was... they were turning away from God and turning away from the Word of God. And that's when God called Joel. That's when God called Isaiah. And they warned the people. Joel's warning the people. You have to turn back to God and His Word. If you don't turn back, those five cycles of national discipline that God gives clearly in Leviticus chapter 26, they're all going to take place. Five cycles of national discipline. Why? What are they there for? Because God hopes that this will cause the people to come to their senses. To come to their senses and rebound. For the believers, repentance is come to your senses and rebound, get back into fellowship with God, and start growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. For the believers, turn back to God and His Word. For the unbelievers, turn to Jesus Christ and believe in Him. And they had gone all the way through to the fourth cycle of national discipline, economic disaster. And they were right on the brink of military invasion by the Assyrians. In fact, the Assyrians made an invasion down through Israel, surrounded Jerusalem, and were ready to destroy the southern kingdom and take it out. But you see, well, we have been studying in Joel 2. They listened to Joel. They listened to Isaiah. There was a spiritual revival. They did turn back to God. They did turn back to the Word of God. Unbelievers place their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Believers rebounded, got back in fellowship, and started growing up in grace and truth. And as a result of that spiritual revival, Jesus Christ delivered them from the fifth cycle of national discipline, military invasion. They were delivered miraculously by the Lord Jesus Christ. One night, Jesus Christ, the greatest soldier of all time, set the world record for killing the enemy in battle. 185,000 Assyrian military died in one night. And the military invasion was over. And they were delivered. And the Assyrians went home. They were delivered because of what? Because of politics? Because they elected the right guy? Hell no. And we won't be delivered either. They were delivered because of a spiritual revival. They turned back to God and the Word of God. And the only thing that's going to deliver America is a spiritual revival. The only thing, only thing. Don't anybody come here wanting me to put out political propaganda. We don't do that in this church. This church is not for political propaganda. This church is for you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. This church is here for you to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And all of that is wasted energy. If Jesus Christ was here running for president, he would have to destroy America. And he's not running for president. But Jesus Christ controls history. And when the Bible says that God repents, he doesn't repent because he's arrogant and has to develop humility. When God says that God repents, it doesn't mean that God has negative volition and has to change to positive volition. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. To say that God is arrogant, that's blasphemy. And that he has to change or repent, change his thinking and develop humility, that's blasphemy. God doesn't repent. It's an anthropopathism when it's with God. People repent. Nations repent because nations get into arrogance, evil. And they have to change their thinking from arrogance to humility. They have to change their thinking from negative volition to positive volition. People do. But not God. God doesn't change. God's not never negative or arrogant. It's an anthropopathism. Because God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And what the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. And he's always the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinite honor. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. And he never changes. Man has to change. Believers have to turn back to God and the Word of God. But God doesn't repent. He's always absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and he deals with us based on that absolute righteousness and perfect justice. What happened in Joel's day and Isaiah's day? The people repented, changed their thinking. There was a spiritual revival. And therefore, when there was that spiritual revival and the pivot got large, then Jesus Christ delivered them. What the righteousness of God accepts, that spiritual revival, the justice of God blesses. And they were blessed by God. Jesus Christ delivered them from the fifth cycle of national discipline. And the Assyrian military invasion was over. Well, all of this is in Joel. And by the way, the next book we're going to be teaching, I'm not going to tell you. I didn't even tell Bob Wilkin. He was trying to figure out. I said, well, we're going to finish Joel here. I said, I'm already working on the next Old Testament book. And so he started guessing. He never guessed it. He was guessing. He never guessed it. So he didn't win the $1 million. But I'm already working on it, and I love Joel. But I love this next one. Wahoo is really great. Joel chapter 2, starting at verse 12. But even now, declares the Lord, Shuv, Hebrew word for repent. Turn back to me with all your heart, and with fasting and with weeping and wailing, and tear your heart and not your garment, and turn back to the Lord your God. Repent. Change your thinking. For unbelievers, faith in Christ. For believers, come to your senses and rebound. That starts it. You have to start there. Rebound. And then positive volition and start growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. What are your priorities? Are the spiritual priorities number one in your life? Not for a lot of people in this church, it's not. Spiritual priorities are down at the bottom. But if you want to see this nation delivered, then your spiritual priorities have to change. But now, declares the Lord, turn back to me with all your heart. Tear your heart and not your garment. Turn back to me, to the Lord your God, because he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. And he repents. Well, that's the anthropopathism. That's the function of the righteousness and justice of God. From sending divine judgment. He does that when the people repent. When they turn back to God and his word. When there's a spiritual revival, then the righteousness of God accepts that spiritual revival, and the justice of God sends deliverance from divine judgment. Verse 14, who knows when the Lord will turn back and repent the function of the integrity of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and leave a blessing behind him. A minka, a gift offering, and a nesek, a drink offering, for you to offer to the Lord your God. So give a blast on the shofar in Zion, sound the alarm, set apart a holy fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Set apart a holy convocation. Assemble the elders, those in authority in Israel. Gather the children, the ones who are nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom come out of his private room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. Verse 17, between the temple porch and the altar, let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep, and let them keep on praying. O Lord, look upon your people with compassion, and do not make your inheritance, the southern kingdom Judah, to become an object of reproach. That is the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline. To become a byword among the nations. Joel commands the priests to keep on praying for client nation Judah, the client nation to God. The priests are to pray to the Lord, God the Father, that he might deal with his client nation in compassion and grace. Genuine compassion is a very important part of intercessory prayer. Genuine compassion is related to grace and to impersonal love for all. Compassion is defined as a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another's suffering or misfortune, accompanied by a desire to alleviate the pain and remove the cause. Genuine compassion includes kindness, sympathy, tenderness, mercy, virtue, loves, especially impersonal love for all. And let them, the priest, keep on saying in prayer, O Lord, look upon your people, your client nation with compassion. And that phrase, your people, this is the Lord's election of Israel. Israel is God's people. Israel is God's possession. by his direct sovereign choice, Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 8. Israel has been set apart for God's special use. And Israel is God's treasured possession. Exodus 19, 1 to 6, Deuteronomy 14, 2, Deuteronomy 26, 18 and 19, Psalm 135, verse 4. The principle is, as goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. The hope for the client nation to God that is in apostasy is spiritual revival. To turn back to the living and true God and His Word. When the pivot of spiritually mature believers is large enough, these effective prayer warriors can actually pray their nation right out of disaster. And that's what happened in Joel and Isaiah's day. Exactly what happened. Winner believers living the spiritual life understand and use prayer in its precisely correct procedure. And that can actually turn the tide and deliver the client nation to God. In Joel's day, the southern kingdom Judah is in the fourth cycle of national discipline, economic disaster. That's the locust invasion. And they are right on the brink of the fifth cycle of national discipline, the military invasion by the Assyrians and national disaster. The Assyrians have come down. They've totally surrounded Jerusalem. However, the result of spiritual revival, unbelievers turning to Jesus Christ and placing their faith in Him, believers rebounding, and then faith turning back to the Word of God, means that their prayers are powerful and effective, and they accomplish much, James 5:16. Therefore, God is now free to pour out His grace and compassion on them based on God's character, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. We do not earn nor deserve any blessings from our God. Not even one blessing from God. But God is a God of grace and compassion. Look what God has done for us. We place our faith in Jesus Christ and the justice of God imputes to us His righteousness. That establishes a grace pipeline. And right from the moment of salvation, faith in Christ, grace blessings come down that pipeline to each one of us. 40 salvation blessings. Instantly, 40 salvation blessings. And then, from that moment of faith in Christ, logistical grace, blessing, and support comes to every single believer every day. The logistical grace, blessing, and support that keeps you alive in the middle of the devil's world. Keeps you alive. This is temporal security. And we have that temporal security given to us day after day after day after day after day down that grace pipeline. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. All believers receive the 40 salvation blessings of salvation. All believers, no matter who you are, whether you're making good decisions, bad decisions, you get logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. Temporal security. Day after day after day. And God is just tapping its foot, waiting for you to have the light go on. Ta-da! I need to start getting my priorities straight. I need to get my spiritual priorities number one. I need to start consistently and faithfully growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. There aren't that many sound Bible teaching churches. Now, Bob Wilkins goes all over the country. And we spent time talking. And he said, Dick, there are almost no sound Bible teaching churches in America. Almost none. And he said, there are no seminaries preparing men for the ministry. There are no seminaries preparing sound doctrinal Bible teachers. And he said personally, he said, Dallas Seminary is done. I said, well, when I was at Dallas Seminary, it was their 50th anniversary. And in church history, John Hanna, the professor in church history, was teaching about seminaries in America. And he went through some like Princeton. You know, Princeton was a fantastic seminary, preparing men for the ministry. They went out and evangelized the Indians. All these Indians believed in Christ and they're in heaven. But after 50 years, went down. Any seminary in America, after 50 years, they went down. Well, that year that I was my fourth year at Dallas Seminary was their 50th anniversary. I knew exactly. Everybody knew what John Hanna was teaching. And we could already see the handwriting on the wall. It was going down and going out. And he said, now, when I was there, there were 800 male students. No female. By the way, no woman has the gift of pastor teacher. Not one. And you ought to be happy about that. I ought to get an amen and you stand up and wave your arms and hallelujah and praise the Lord. No woman has the gift of pastor teacher. None. And when I was at Dallas, there were 800 men. Now women go there so that they can get a THM. And now it's gone from 800 to about 1500. Bigger is better. No, it's not. And Bob said, you know, of all the places I have gone, the biggest churches are the worst churches. They're the worst churches. And the best churches are the one with 40 to 50 people. And they teach the truth. And they're not afraid to teach the truth. The truth will be taught here. And I've had people come in, I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking for a real nice pastor, doesn't yell at us. Well, there's lots of churches in Las Vegas. Big ones, too. But I'm not here to get people. I would love to see. We're not living in times of positive volition. We're living in apostasy. People don't want to know about God. They don't want to know the Word of God. Now you got bands. They have a band and you get to hear the band and drums and all of... Jeez Louise. I liked it when we didn't have... it. We have Danielle now, the great best piano player in Las Vegas, probably the United States. But for years, all we had was one of the deacons going up to the piano and dinging. Hitting one note. Ding! And they even hit the wrong one on that one. Sometimes they were meant to hit one, they hit two. And so we had the head dinger. Well, we don't have. I liked it when we had the head dinger. That was fine. But I Danielle was phenomenal. And Danielle, what a sweetheart she is. She loves God. She loves the Word of God. And she is a phenomenal piano player. She plays as unto the Lord. So I am very, very happy to have Danielle here. But you see, one thing that I got from Pastor Breckel and Bethany Bible Church in Pullman, Washington, and Colonel R.B. Thame, Baraka Church, what I got from both of those pastors was that this right here, to have the highest, highest regard for the God-breathed scriptures. Thea Penelstoth. You have it translated inspired. The word does not mean inspired. It's Theos Penelstoth. God breathed scripture. God, the Holy Spirit, puts every word there. And both Pastor Breckel and Pastor Thame gave me, passed on to me, the highest, highest regard and respect for the God-breathed scriptures. And that's why I teach verse by verse, verse by verse, word by word, every word. That's why I made, that's why Pastor Breckel told me, Dick, when you go to Dallas, you major in the languages, Hebrew and Greek. You can't get too much Hebrew and Greek. Get it and then use it. Study from the Hebrew and Greek so that you're teaching the God-breathed scriptures, not a translation. So, yeah, I'm slow. I admit I'm slow. I'm slow, and I'm going to keep on being slow because I'm going to keep on teaching verse by verse, word by word, the God-breathed scriptures. But that isn't what people want today. They want to get to a big church. So the pastor wants more and more people, so he waters down all these things, doesn't teach the God-breathed scriptures. And that causes division. Then they get up and this group leaves and that group leaves. Thing is, yeah, and if they don't leave, I'll help them out. I can't walk very well, but I can still kick in the patootie. The result of spiritual revival, the unbeliever's faith in Christ, believer's faith in Bible doctrine, rebounding, coming to their senses, and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ is powerful and effective prayer that accomplishes much. We may have failed God totally in the past, but when we come to our senses and rebound and turn back to God and His Word, that God never changes. He's infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinite righteousness and justice, infinitely fair. He is infinite grace and compassion and virtue love. And these believers recognize that they do not have the right to ask for this. They realize that this nation has no right to exist as a nation. They realize that they have failed God miserably in the past. But now, after the ministry of Joel and Isaiah, now they've turned back to God and His Word. And after this great spiritual revival, now they appeal to God's grace and compassion to deliver them. Israel is God's own inheritance. Psalm 94:14, for the Lord will not abandon His people, nor will He forsake His inheritance. You hear that? The Lord Jesus Christ will not abandon His people, Israel. nor will he forsake his inheritance. That is an absolute. And so we have, and do not make your inheritance to become an object of reproach, the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline to become a byword among the nations. Now, we come to the end, complete our exegesis of verse 17. Wherefore, should they say among the people, where is their God? The preposition lameth prefixed to the interrogative pronoun ma, plus the cal imperfect of amer with the third person plural masculine subject, plus the preposition baith prefixed to the plural of the noun am, plus the interrogative adverb iye, plus the noun Elohim with the third person plural masculine suffix. The interrogative pronoun ma. Hello, ma? No. That's a whole different... you have to come see me about that one. M-A-H. Ma! It has several renderings. By itself, it asks the question, what? When it's with the preposition baith, it may mean wherein, or by what means, or for what, or how much, or how many. But we don't have it with the preposition baith. We have it with the preposition lameth. And when it's with the preposition lameth, it means for what reason or why. In our verse, it asks the question, why? And then the verb amer. Aleph, A-M-A-R, amer. And amer is the verb that means to say or to speak. The imperfect tense has strong linear action start. And it means, why should they keep on saying? Why should they keep on saying? Who is they? Third person plural subject. They are the goyim. And the preposition baith means in or among. Here it means among. The plural of the noun am, the peoples and the nations. Why should they, the goyim, keep on saying among the peoples? And then the interrogative adverb, aye. Well, I've got to look at that. Aye. Aleph, A-Y-E-H. Aye. And Aye means where, and then Elohim, this is the word that actually, it's a Hebrew word that includes the entire Trinity, Godhead. Aleph, E-L-O-H-I-M. There's the plural ending. Here's the word translated God. But it's the plural ending. It includes God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we have Elohim, and then third person plural masculine suffix, their God. And there's no verb. We have no verb here in the Hebrew, and the absence of the verb always adds great, great emphasis. Literally, this simply says, where their God. So the corrected translation, between the temple porch and the altar, let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep, and let them keep on praying, O Lord, look upon your people with compassion, and do not make your inheritance, client nation Judah, to become an object of reproach, administration of the fifth cycle of discipline, to become a byword among the nations, the goyim. Why should they, the goyim, keep on saying among the peoples, where is their God? One, the priests are commanded to intercede on behalf of the nation. And the priests have responded to Joel. They have responded to Isaiah. They have come to their senses. They've rebounded, got back into fellowship with God, and they are turned back to God and His Word. Two, this was not the first time in which a prayer of intercession for Israel had been made. Perhaps the greatest Old Testament believer of all time, Moses, interceded for Israel on several occasions. And the nation Israel was blessed by association with Moses. They were blessed by association with Moses. You talk about a great believer interceding for a bunch of losers. That was Moses interceding for Israel. Turn over to Exodus. Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Now Moses is up on Sinai getting the law from the Lord Jesus Christ. And while he's up there on Sinai, the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people," I gotta get a kick out of this, "your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it, and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now, leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them." The Lord says this to Moses. "I'm going to wipe them all out." And then listen to what he says. "And then I will make you into a great nation." Now, if any of you had been Moses, you'd have said, "Oh, boy. Yeah, go ahead. Wipe them out and start with me." "Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses, the greatest believer in the Old Testament, sought the favor of the Lord his God. "O Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.'" Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. The nation Israel is blessed by association with Moses. You know, they hated Moses. And they were blessed by association with Moses. Three, Joel says the priests are to pray that God will not make his inheritance an object of reproach and a byword among the nations. for today the United States of America, as the client nation to God, is also in apostasy. Just as the southern kingdom Judah was in Joel's day. Today the United States of America, as the client nation to God, is also in apostasy, just as the southern kingdom Judah was in Joel's day. 5. God shows us His grace and compassion as He administers the 5 cycles of national discipline, Leviticus 26. He's showing His grace and compassion. Why? Hoping that it will lead the people to turn back to Him and His Word. Hoping it will lead the people to turn back to God and His Word. Repentance. Biblical repentance. So God shows us His grace and compassion in administering the 5 cycles of national discipline, so that it might lead the people to biblical repentance, turning back to God and His Word. 6. Is there any hope for America today? The answer is yes. There is. The same hope that God put before Judah and every other client nation to God that degenerated into apostasy. So is there any hope for America? Yes, there is. But it's the same hope God put before Judah in Joel and Isaiah's day and every other client nation to God that has degenerated into apostasy. 7. The choice is to turn back to God and His Word, repentance, or destruction. The 5th cycle of national discipline, the destruction of the client nation to God. So the choice is to turn back to God and His Word, biblical repentance, or destruction. And that's what's before America right now. This is the issue. 8. Our nation is on a collision course. Our nation is on a collision course and has a date with national destruction unless the people turn back to God and His Word. Our nation is on a collision course and has a date with national destruction unless the people turn back to God and His Word. But as Bob taught, and I thought, and I just thought that was so great, what everything Bob taught on Sunday, you've been getting it from here. And I didn't make up what he was supposed to teach. And he even picked out the passages that been taught from here. I know some of you, it's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Well, Pastor Olson must have told him about Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why we're here, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some of you, your mind is glued on negative. You need constant transformation, renewing of your mind as you learn and believe the God-breathed Scriptures. So our nation is on a collision course and has a date with national destruction unless the people turn back to God and His Word. 9. In Judah, repentance began and with a spiritual revival. They listened to God's servant Joel, they listened to God's servant Isaiah. A spiritual problem demands a spiritual solution. And God will accept nothing less from His people today. There is no way that our government, the executive branch, the legislative branch, the judicial branch, is going to save us from anything. Our deliverance must come from God. Who delivered them in Joel's day and Isaiah's day? Jesus Christ. And at the last second, the military invasion was underway. But because of the spiritual revival, Jesus Christ set a new record for killing the enemy in battle. 185,000 Assyrian soldiers died, and the military invasion was over. And the fifth cycle of discipline was, they were delivered from it. Well, this is where we are. Our deliverance must come from God. Today in Client Nation USA. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.